Now, brother,
read the Bible when you're weary and blue.
Why don't you
read the Bible, brother? Every word is true. Take your troubles to the book of life and pray. Read the Bible every day.
Joshua and David had their worries, had their troubles in their day. But they knew no harm could overcome them when they'd kneel right down and pray.
Now, brother,
read the Bible when you're weary and blue.
Why don't you
read the Bible, brother? Every word is true. Take your troubles to the book of life and pray. Read the Bible every day.
Should old sin begin to overtake you, and old Satan's at your door, read the book, and there you'll find the answer, and sin will trouble you no more.
Now, sister, read the Bible when you're weary and blue.
Why don't you
read the Bible, sister? Every word is true. Take your troubles to the book of life and pray. Read the Bible every day.
Just be your altar. Read a chapter every day. Lift your eyes up to the skies above you. Kneel right down and start to pray.
Now, children, read the Bible when you're weary and blue.
Why don't you
read the Bible, children? Every word is true. Take your troubles to the book of life and pray. Bible every day. Read the Bible every day.
Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. It is Monday, July 29th, 2019, the last Monday in this great month. As we're marching along during the summertime, in fact, tomorrow the Prime Life Times August edition will arrive and we'll get that out to over 300 area locations. But with this being Memorization Monday and the fact last Monday we had Nancy Brain as our special guest, and Marianne told me afterwards, she said, "Mark, we didn't do the reading." And I was like, "Why didn't you stop me and say something?" She said, "Well, I held up the book a few times." Well, I was so excited to have Nancy Brain in talking about her ministry to the seniors and putting on a taste of retirement gathering or two, maybe some travels, special day trips, and some other things that Nancy Brain and Cindy Guthrie will help host, facilitate, and put together. And so we're excited about that. Well, anyways, we got so caught up in that conversation that we never did the reading. So today I'll be doing two readings. I'm holding down the fort. I'm soloing it today. And we'll be doing the reading from last week, John 14:1, and then our new verse for the week, John 14:2. And also, I have much to say about some of the unique things God's doing with this radio ministry. And this weekend, I was camping out in the book of Acts, especially mindful of Acts chapter 4, verse 13. Maybe some of you have memorized this, but I love the statement that's being made by the priests and the Sadducees as Peter and John were standing before the Sanhedrin. But verse 13 of chapter 4 states, "When they saw the courage of Peter and John and realized that they were unschooled, ordinary men, they were astonished and took note that these men had been with Jesus." Oh, dear one, may that be true of our lives today, that those around us say, "You know, there's something different about them, and different in a good way. I think they've been hanging out with Jesus or worshiping Jesus, or they read those words of Jesus. Or it seems they're modeling something after that Savior, Jesus Christ, that they follow. Shouldn't that be all of our heart's desire, that others notice something positive, good about us because we've spent time with Jesus? Oh, that could preach, huh? I need Pastor Jason Schiffo to start dividing that for us all. But it's kind of pretty obvious. There's many ways to spend time with Jesus. By being with other like-minded believers, praying to Him, worship service or Bible studies on Sunday, maybe through an encouraging song you connect with Him. Oh, there's just a host of ways. But may it be said about us that people took note that we had been with Jesus. Oh, well, to set up last week's verse, your heart must not be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me, John 14:1. Here's a song by Jamie Owens Collins, Let Not Your Heart Be Troubled.
Let not your heart be troubled, you believe in God, believe in God, believe also in me. Let not your heart be troubled, you believe in God, believe in God, believe also in me. Let not your heart be troubled.
Well, that song's very appropriate to the reading that we should have done last week. for John 14:1, your heart must not be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. So let me do the reading, and then we'll look at this week's verse, John 14:2, and I have a special song by the Ball Brothers that will introduce that topic and theme. Here's the reading for John 14:1. To feel the impact of John 14:1, you have to read the end of the previous chapter, remembering there were no chapter breaks originally. This is part of the Upper Room Discourse, John 13-17, as Jesus meets the final time with his disciples prior to his crucifixion. At the end of chapter 13, Jesus distressed his disciples by abruptly telling them he was leaving. He was going away and wouldn't be with them much longer. "Lord," Simon Peter said to him, "where are you going?" Jesus answered, "Where I am going, you cannot follow me now, but you will follow me later." "Why can't I follow you now? I'll lay down my life for you." "Will you lay down your life for me?" said Jesus. "I assure you, a rooster will not crow until you have denied me three times." There must have been a deadly pause in the conversation, but a moment later Jesus added, "Your heart must not be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me." It's important to see this context because it shows us that the truths of John 14 work in the most troubling times of life. These words weren't spoken in green pastures of Galilee on a cloudless spring day. They were spoken in a sealed room in a hostile city during a crisis in the face of impending doom. That's why we know it's able to reassure us, too, in life's deepest valleys, darkest days, and strangest twists and turns. We trust in God and in God's Son. Eric Betts tells the story that while he grew up believing in God, nothing in his life demonstrated it. He occasionally attended church, but it was a chore. He was preoccupied with his family and pals, his job, and his girlfriend. Then in his late 20s, everything fell apart. His parents separated, his friends moved away, he lost his job, and he and his fiance split up. "At that point in my life, I lost all hope," said Eric. "I experienced many sleepless nights because of anxiety and depression, and I was looking for inner peace." Then one August day, Eric found a pocket-sized Gideon Bible New Testament in his apartment. Opening it, he found a page that said, "Where to find help when..." His eyes fell on the reference for John 14:1, and he quickly searched through the pages for that verse. He read the entire paragraph, and suddenly his depression and anxiety faded. "I confessed to the Lord that I was a sinner and needed a Savior, and asked Jesus to come into my life." He instantly discovered a gift of inner peace that matched the words of Jesus, "Your heart must not be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me." And here's a statement by Thomas Chalmers. "There is no trouble to which the heart of man is exposed that a belief in the doctrine of the gospel is not calculated to purify and to alleviate." Whew, that one's packed. But in a nutshell, it reiterates what John 14:1 says, "Let your hearts not be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me." Well, that was the reading for last week for our John 14:1 verse. And I'll have a special reading for John 14:2 right after this song, "Going Home" by the Ball Brothers. And that'll lay the groundwork for our verse for the week, John 14:2, "In my Father's house are many dwelling places. If it were not, I would have told you. I am going away to prepare a place for you." We'll do that reading in one moment, but here's the Ball Brothers, "Going Home."
Many times in my childhood, we traveled so far. By nightfall, how weary I'd grow. Father's arms would slip around me and gently say,
Amen, amen. Praise God, we are going home. That's those of us that follow the Lord Jesus Christ, that have asked Him into our hearts, that follow Him as our Lord and Savior, that recognize we're sinners in need of a Savior, and have asked Jesus into our hearts to forgive us of our sins, and that assures us a place in the heavenlies with God the Father, where there's no more pain or suffering, in the very place that He's preparing a home for us. Which goes well with this week's verse, John 14:2. In my Father's house are many dwelling places. If not, I would have told you, I am going away to prepare a place for you. Here's our reading from 100 Bible Verses Everyone Should Know by Heart by Robert J. Morgan. Perhaps you're familiar with this verse from the King James Version. In my Father's house are many mansions. It's among the most precious verses in the Bible about heaven, but modern translations have replaced the word mansion with rooms or dwelling places. I'm not happy that my heavenly accommodation has been downgraded from a mansion to a room. What gives? Well, our English word mansion comes from a Latin word meaning to live or dwell. Originally, the word simply meant a place to live or a place to dwell. When William Tyndale first translated the Bible into English, he used the word manse or mansion. It simply meant dwelling place. From there, it came into our early English versions. That was also the meaning of the Greek word used by John, and it fits the analogy Jesus is using about His Father's house. But that doesn't mean we're all going to be confined to a one-room efficiency in some sort of heavenly tenement house throughout eternity. I actually think the word mansion is a pretty good one. After all, the smallest house in heaven is going to be a million times better than the grandest place on earth, so I don't think the idea of mansion is inappropriate. I'm going to stick to my own king terminology here. In my Father's house are many mansions. What we often call heaven is referred to in Revelation 21 and 22 as the new heavens, the new earth, and the new Jerusalem. I'm convinced the Bible teaches that a literal city, New Jerusalem, is currently in the highest heaven and is the dwelling place of God. Christians are transported there instantly at death. At the end of the earth's history, this world and the entire universe will be recreated. This glorious golden city will then descend from the heaven to the new earth, and the dwelling place of God will be with us, and we will be his people, and he will be our God. Our eternal home will be on the new earth and in this great city. There will be more than enough room for all the mansions, apartments, cottages, and dwelling places we'll ever need. In his book Heaven, Randy Acorn writes, "Heaven isn't likely to have lots of identical residences. God loves diversity, and he tailor-makes his children and his provisions for them. When we see the particular place he's prepared for us, not just for mankind in general, but for us in particular, we'll rejoice to see our ideal home." And here's a quote by Harriet E. Buell. "A tent or a cottage, why should I care? They're building a place for me over there." Amen and amen. Well, let's say again our scripture verse for this week, John 14:2. "In my Father's house are many dwelling places. If not, I would have told you. I am going away to prepare a place for you." Thank you, Lord Jesus, for this place that you're preparing even now for us as we follow you and look forward to your return and our home going. Well, may you be blessed by these two readings today and the songs, and may we be ever mindful that our hearts need not be troubled because we believe in God and we also believe in Jesus. And that in my Father's house are many dwelling places. If not, I would have told you, I'm going to prepare a place for you. Amen and amen. Well, thanks for listening. Thanks for being a part of our radio listening family. This is Mark Burns with the Ministry of Great News Radio. God bless you and have a great day and night.